Now, another BloomerBoomer.com podcast. Your host, Andy Asher, living life over 55. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Do you remember when?
Well, first I want to thank Ambassador Bolton and all of you for inviting us here today and taking the time to talk with us. I'll make you two promises. The first is that I'll be brief, and the second is that I won't try to educate you on the issues of Darfur and the regions around it. There's nothing I can say that you don't already know. You know the numbers, you know the urgency, and you know how bad this is likely to get.
That's George Clooney, born May 1961, actor, film director, producer, and screenwriter, speaking here in 2006 at a Save Darfur rally in Washington, D.C. April 2006, he spent 10 days in Chad and Sudan with his father to make the TV special, A Journey to Darfur. So is it possible this year that kids won't be seeing as many PlayStations and Xboxes under the Christmas tree, instead just an envelope from the grandparents? Well, that could be the case if the current trend spills over to holiday gift giving, because according to a recent research, grandparents are increasingly getting more involved in their grandchildren's education expenses. In fact, research by TIAA CREF, 40% of Americans who sought financial advice in 2013 wanted to know more about education-related topics, such as saving for education. That's up 10% from 2012. As part of that, this Fortune 100 financial services organization is offering an opportunity to win a $100,000 college savings plan. To talk about that is Regina Lewis. She is a consumer trend expert and host of USA Today's Money Quick Tips. Now, first, thank you, Regina, for taking the time. And that's an interesting trend, grandparents kicking in more for college?
It is. And really, thanks, Andy. I think it's to their credit. Grandparents have the wisdom of age. They have watched college education play out over multiple generations. And I think they have a real appreciation and a practical, pragmatic approach to understanding that for this upcoming generation, it really is a different scene when you consider the average college graduate now graduating with, you know, $26,000 in debt. If they marry a college graduate, now you're $50,000+ in debt, which has down the road ramifications. You are slower to buy a home if you can at all. Therefore, you're not building equity in that house. And, you know, that could affect multiple generations. So I think that they're looking for a way to help as they can. They're also faced with an entirely different paradigm as we see the first generation who will frankly and candidly not do better than their parents. And so, it all switched up on everyone, including grandparents, but I think that they are being the leaders that they naturally and inherently are, and taking the lead where they can and as they can.
So they're seeing this, and I guess the other part, or there are many different factors, but perhaps that they might at this point in their life have a little bit better discretionary income perhaps than their children, or what are you seeing in that regard?
Yeah, they may and they may not, but they certainly will yield the tax benefits that 529 plans, which are tax advantage, have. You can open them for multiple grandchildren, depending on the state that you live in. That could benefit you on an annual basis. And of course, there's the benefit of compound interest over time. So if you take, by way of example, let's say you were to open up a 529 plan for a grandchild with $100, today, 15 years later, assuming 5%, if you added $25 a month just on an automatic basis, which most people, if they put the right systems in place as they do for their cell phone payments or car payments, well, that's $7,000 at the end of 15 years. And I also think it leads by example. So if you do that and the parents say, hey, it's great that the grandparents are doing that, it shouldn't be the only thing that's happening, let's do it too as parents. Let's make sure the godparents, if there are any, know how to contribute to that, or anyone else who may have the means to do it. That's when you're really cooking with gas, as my grandfather likes to say, and you can see the benefit there. So not only is it tax advantage, I do think it leads by example, and the financial barrier to entry is frankly lower than most people think. And when I talk to folks at every age bracket, including grandparents, they think, oh, you know, I'm not that kind of grandparent. I don't have $10,000, five homes that I might sell. And when you tell them, hey, did you know you could start with as little as $25? They're usually pretty surprised by that and frankly relieved, because I think it's something everybody wants to do and knows intellectually it makes sense given all the tax advantages. And they just thought they weren't that, you know, they weren't in the position to do it. Turns out you are.
And you mentioned a little moment ago about something of a paradigm shift where it was pretty much the parents' role, at least they can perceived that the case, but now it's spread throughout the rest of the family a little more.
Yeah, I think it's a family affair. That's not to let, and I would never mean to imply parents off the hook or have anyone, including grandparents, feel like, hey, you know, you need to step up. That sends all the wrong messages. But I think what people are looking for is a vehicle to contribute if and as they're able to. So take gift giving as an example. I said to my brother and sister just within the past couple of weeks, both of them have four children, I said, hey, you know, this Christmas, should we do something a little bit different? How about contributing to, you know, who's got a 529 plan set up? Should we just give these, you know, you can find them online, very adorable looking 529 gift certificates for $25, $50, $75 instead? And they both wrote me back almost instantly saying, genius, let's do that instead. I mean, there's not that many families, and I think some families kind of cringe on, I don't want to give an Xbox game. I don't want to give another sweater. I want to constructively contribute to things that really matter. And you see that across the board in the economy right now. Car sales are up after, you know, the average vehicle being on the road for 11 years. That was a necessity. But people aren't driving them to the mall to buy apparel. Because that's viewed as a luxury. Interest in 529 plans way up. Contributions up, with grandparents now making 10% of all contributions to 529 plans. And I don't think that's necessarily, yes, in some cases they have more disposable income, but without question, they want to be smart about how they use it. And it's by almost any objective measure, although everyone should get financial advice, it's a pretty smart play.
So that paradigm that we referred to also probably goes down to the children who may not see that Xbox under the tree, but an envelope. So that's a different attitude or a different way of looking at receiving gifts.
Yeah, but here's the, I actually think that that has tremendous benefit. And I know that, you know, I have three children of my own. I get the shock and awe of what's under the tree or whichever holidays you're celebrating and when you're celebrating and birthdays, et cetera, is children who, and this is where the TIA CREF research is very interesting that they've gathered, who have 529 accounts are 7 times more likely to go to college. And I don't think that's just socioeconomic. I think it's the, if you are around, and I am all the time interacting with families who are truly stressed by the burden of month-to-month finances and paying for college, you know, don't think for a second your kids don't feel that. And I think grandparents viscerally know that. The kids know. So the fact that they have 529 plans, if they know that, and they know that that means is there, I don't think they take it for granted, but it really does reduce that overall stress level on families. And when you look at empirical evidence like a 7 times greater likelihood of going to college, I mean, I personally don't need more evidence than that to know that it's worthwhile. So I think that it has both, you know, very clear mathematical benefits and tax benefits, but also a psychological impact within the household that says, hey, we recognize that college is a goal. It's a family goal that we all agree upon. We think it's of tremendous value. We want to make sure that you're able to do this if you do your part, and we have a plan in place. And that last part is where 529s come in.
It makes you wonder if we may start seeing a shift in priorities as to what's important, maybe the material things a little bit less so than they had been in the past under these current economic situations.
I think you're seeing that in some categories. If you look at, you know, for instance, thrift shops and kids being more resourceful, you see it changing in fashion. 10 years ago, it was all about designer head to toe. Now, you know, and it puts a premium on companies who are playing in this space, but now you might have a designer watch or just the right phone with this Apple or the right the right, and I'm saying this in middle school terms, and tween and teen perspective, phone or sneaker, but everything else, hand-me-downs, got it at Goodwill, doesn't really matter. So you do see it showing up various places. And I think that, you know, I worry about the news climate where people are questioning the value and ROI of a college education, understanding that tuition has inflated exponentially, and I think there needs to be a grip on that. But when push comes to shove in a tough economic environment, it's even tougher if you don't have a degree. So I'd love to see families get a handle around this, feel like they're making the best decisions they can make and the most informed decisions. And there's a ton of resources online, but hopefully this helps simplify things. And, you know, it only takes one person in the family to socialize it, whether it's me calling my brother and sister and saying, how about these, you know, 529 gift certificates instead, or someone giving it as a baby shower gift and then having other people say, hey, you know, Aunt Sue and Uncle Jim, how'd you do that? That tends to be, and that's what AARP and TIAA-CREF are trying to do, is really socialize the concept, make it more approachable so it isn't this, and it's a horrible name, isn't this 529 IRS tax code thing that I have to be super wealthy to do? Because as soon as you say that, you know, I'm out. That's not me. And it'd be great to see more people take advantage of this.
Well, you're very motivating. I have a five-year-old grandson and another one on the way, and so just hearing what you're saying is a motivating factor.
Oh, how wonderful. Well, I'm so glad, and I'm thankful for the opportunity and honestly all for all you're doing on your website. And one thing I would encourage you, Andy, you got to go for this, and certainly everyone watching and listening, is the current contest that AARP and TIAA-CREF have. It's called Big Dreams Start Small. It takes 3 minutes. You submit. You should do this with your five-year-old. A picture and a caption, just, you know, why they have big dreams, and someone's going to win, which is a heck of a jump start, a $100,000 contribution to a 529 plan.
That's great. Now, you have certainly an interesting title. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. You're a consumer trend expert, and you are a host of USA Today's Money Quick Tips. Tell us a little bit about what your specialty is. That seems like a unique one.
Oh, well, it's actually so terrific in that I'm really lucky to cover trends, which I'm fascinated by, so I'm a big reader of the Malcolm Gladwells of the world. And then I comment on the economic data, or really what are the behavioral economics that are driving it? You know, why are people buying trucks but not driving them to the mall? Why is consumer spending down even if we have a windfall? Why is Halloween spending down currently? You know, interesting things like Halloween spending being down is actually tends to be a positive sign, because in really tough times, as we saw from 2008 to 2011, Halloween spending was mysteriously up. And so I go on the networks like CBS or MSNBC, which I'm on every weekend, and try to explain, you know, here's why. Turns out in really tough times, people feel like, well, I can go all out on Halloween because I know I'm going to have to skimp at Christmas, and that's more expensive. and so, you know, spending on Halloween is actually a horrible precursor for holiday spending, and the inverse might prove this year to be different. So I love studying these trends and trying to figure out what they mean. Often, you know, families are very smart, and per our conversation, grandparents are the smartest of the bunch, right? They have the benefit of wisdom, and what they're doing day-to-day behaviorally is really informative, and usually there's a pretty significant, if you find the connectors, economic trend right behind that. So I try to be one of the people who reads that right and helps people get first mover advantage.
Regina, you've obviously motivated me, and if perhaps you've motivated others, how would they get started on setting up a 529 plan?
Sure. Well, I think the AARP has done, they know this is a significant topic, a great job aggregating content. So if you go to aarpcollegesavings.com, pretty intuitive. So aarpcollegesavings.com, you'll see a lot of resources, including a link to the Big Dreams contest. But I work with AARP in various ways, and You know, they're very good at simplified content, as are you, by the way. So thanks for that. And I think that it's a matter of making it approachable in a way that doesn't misread the market. When you start talking about starting with $25 or $100 contribution, auto-enrolling so that $25 a month that you never see, which is a fraction of your cell phone bill, gets added to the 529 account, suggesting it as a gift idea within your family. Now people, when they hear that, they think, oh, that's my family, as opposed to just saying, oh, do you have a 529 account? And, you know, people cover their ears, look down, and feel shame and walk away. They don't even want to hear what you have to say after that. So I think the time is right. This was not necessarily a discussion that people were primed to hear during the Great Recession, but the indicators are that they are now, which is a great thing.
So, Regina, as we wind down here, what tips might you have for grandparents who want to get started on setting up some kind of a college financing plan for their grandchildren?
I mean, I think the key thing is get started. If you know, today is your best day when you're talking about something that reflects compound interest. So starting a 529 can be done online in many cases, and there's often a 800 phone number right at the top of the screen. AARP is a great starting point. So AARP, collegesavings.com. And they'll usually ask you a series of questions and then give you a recommendation. Every states have different 529 plans. There may be some inherent benefits to going with your state plan from a state tax benefit. And in some cases, that's not true, in which case, if you live in Connecticut, you can opt into the California plan. But the overall concept of taking advantage of things that are tax deferred, or if you pull things out for education expenses, and importantly, education expenses doesn't just mean tuition. It's books, it's a percentage of room and board, and anyone who has had a child go off to college knows that, you know, tuition is, it's a big chunk, but it's not the only chunk. And the other thing is oftentimes people hold out for scholarships. They say, oh, well, I don't want to jeopardize that. Maybe we'll get financial aid. Well, aid usually means loans, and they have to be paid back, and the responsibility and burden that comes with that. And on the scholarship front, almost no one gets a full ride. If you're, even if you've got a elite athlete, they are one injury away from not getting that. So it's a pretty tricky thing to bank on. Grandparents often worry, well, what if they elect not to go to college or drop out? And the 529 plans are, you can defer them to a different child. And so people do that readily all the time. So you've got a lot of different flexible maneuvers to make, and you've got a starting price point of $25 online, by phone, through the AARP website. You get pointed in the right direction. And then the nice thing is, once you do start it and let people know, they can contribute to your 529 plan or be inspired to start their own. And if grandparents want to have a separate plan from parents, there's no limit to the number of 529 plans an individual child could have. So you don't have to be entirely collaborative about this process. You can support the same child through different channels. And sometimes that works best, depending on your relationship with your adult children. You may say, hey, you know, we're going to do a 529. We know you've got one, too. The same child benefits from both.
Well, great. Well, it sounds like a very flexible plan, and that's outstanding. Regina, this has really been great, and I appreciate your time.
Okay. Well, thank you, Andy. Me too.
Thank you for listening to this BloomerBoomer.com podcast. We provide transcripts for most of our podcasts. You can click on the transcript section of the website. You can also access all of our podcasts on iTunes. Finally, we would love it if you could leave a comment, good, bad, or indifferent, in the reply section of the podcast. Thanks again.